Anti-Aging and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So are your arteries turning into bone? Now, I know that may sound like a silly question, but it's true. As we age, there's an interesting phenomenon that happens. We lose bone mass, but our arteries turn into bone-like tissue. Now, okay, maybe it's a little slight exaggeration, but it is something similar to the process of bone formation that does take place in aging arteries. And I'm going to talk about that in this segment. So yes, arteries can become bone-like in a sense, but I want to start off with a very important statement. This is not from calcium supplements. Let's just get that out there right now. It's not from calcium supplements. There was a study, and the reason I bring that up, in the British Medical Journal just a couple months ago, they looked at over 61,000 women taking calcium, and they noticed that there was an increased risk of plaque formation, arterial plaque formation, and heart disease in women taking the calcium. Now, listen, that's not really that surprising to me or even the Life Extension Foundation, but it's really not the calcium that's the issue. It's quite opposite. And let me explain what I mean here. Your blood keeps a steady supply of calcium, okay? And it needs to, because calcium is so important to so many things, heart beating, nerve function. And so any slight deviation in how much calcium is in the blood can actually kill you, in a sense. It definitely cause a lot of problems. So this is why calcium is an essential mineral, a mineral to your health. Now, bones act like a mineral bank that can release calcium on an as-needed basis. So when your body doesn't obtain enough calcium from your diet or supplements, it gets it from your bones. Now, this sounds like a nice, convenient thing, but it can take a toll on your arteries in the long run. Calcium is supposed to move from your gut to your blood to your bones. It's really not supposed to be leached out of the bones to support an optimal blood level. That leaching out of the bones is what really causes the problems in the arteries. So calcium from your diet or supplements can actually prevent this leaching process. So when you're getting enough calcium in, you're not going to take it from your bones. The leaching process doesn't happen and your arteries are protected. This is completely the opposite of the conclusion from the British Medical Journal study. Here's why they messed up in that study. It's very simple. Calcium requires two other important vitamins. It requires optimal levels of vitamin D to be managed properly, and optimal levels of vitamin K2. So if you don't have enough vitamin D and enough vitamin K2 on board, and you take a bunch of calcium, yeah, you could have issues there because you're not managing the calcium properly. But this study makes it sound like you should stop calcium intake for the most part. That would be devastating because now your body has to get it from your bones, and we don't want that leaching process to occur. We want you to take your calcium. We want you to take it through diet and supplements, but we have to make sure we have the right amount of vitamin D and the right amount of vitamin K2 on board. Here's some of the proof of this. Research shows, and this is from a publication called Biomedical Public Health. This was in 2009. Research shows that people with low bone densities are more likely to have calcified arteries. So what that means is they're probably not bringing in enough calcium through diets and supplements, which means they're activating that leaching process, right, from the bones, and that's what's causing that calcium to be mismanaged. Most likely, they also probably don't have enough vitamin D or K2 anyways. And some of these same people, this was a large study. What they did is they did some subgroup analysis, and the subgroup analysis was done a few years later and published in the Mayo Clinical Proceedings of 2011, and they did in fact show that a lot of these people also had low D and K2 levels. So keep in mind that if you go by that British Medical Journal study this year, you might get the impression that it's calcium causing the problems. It's calcium that's causing your arteries to turn into bones, when it's quite the opposite. We need to bring the calcium. The issue really goes back to whether or not if I have enough vitamin D and K2. If I have enough vitamin D and K2 and I take in my calcium through supplements and through diet, then I'm going to be okay. I'm going to take that calcium from the gut into the blood and into the bones where it belongs. So yes, there is. As we get older, because of a couple different factors, we're not getting in enough calcium and we don't have enough vitamin D and vitamin K2. Yes, we leach out the calcium, and that's what causes the calcium deposits in the arteries. So what I want to do here is I want to talk about the Healthy Talk Trinity of Nutrients for Healthy Bones and Arteries. Number one, you do need to take calcium either by your diet or supplements. We want women, I say we, this is some work we've done with the Life Extension Foundation, women who are over 35 years old to have about 1,100 milligrams of calcium every day. Men over 35, about 600 milligrams every day. And that again, that's diet plus supplementation. So we want to bring in calcium. If you don't, where does your body get it from? The bones. That leaching process is what is causing the calcium to get stuck in the arteries. That's the artery to bone connection. So we need to take in calcium. Number two, we got to have enough vitamin D, as I just said. Now, there's two different types. There's vitamin D2, vitamin D3. I prefer the D3 kind. That's the one that your body makes. That's the one I like to supplement. Vitamin D2 is really there for maybe people who are vegetarian, for instance, because D3 does come from an animal source. Now, the dose of vitamin D, because I get this question all the time, is really going to be based on your blood level. We like blood levels to be between 50 and 70 nanograms per deciliter. 50 to 70. Now, the government, the United States government, thinks it should be around 34 or so, 34 to 40. That's way too low. 50 to 70, based on that blood level, you can then talk to your doctor and they can put you on the right amount. For most people, it's about 2,000 to 5,000 units of D3 every day. Take it with food. Vitamin K2 is a little trickier because vitamin K1, which is what helps your blood clot, comes from the leafy green vegetables. Vitamin K1 then turns into vitamin K2, which is then important for putting the calcium into the bones. The problem is, as we get older, we don't make that conversion very well. We don't turn the K1 into the K2 as well as we need to. And so supplementing with K2, I think, is really important. We want to do about 1,200 micrograms a day, which is about 1.2 milligrams of vitamin K2. By the way, if you're on blood thinners like Coumadin, talk to your doctor first, but you should be okay with vitamin K2 supplementation because it has very, very little effect on the blood clotting aspect, which is really run by vitamin K1. So there you go. Calcium, you got to get it in to stop that leaching process. Vitamin D, very, very important. And of course, vitamin K2. And those two vitamins will help your body manage calcium better. I think I have a few more, maybe about another minute or so left. What I want to do, I have a question here, and you can email me your questions at drmike@lifeextension.com. That's drmike@lifeextension.com. And this is a question I get a lot. What is your favorite heart supplement? Well, I'm going to have to go with pomegranate. And let me explain why. I take pomegranate every day, by the way. I think the right dose of pomegranate is about 400 milligrams a day. And there are very potent antioxidants in it. And you want to take a supplement that provides 30%. So out of that 400 milligrams, you want to make sure on the back label it says you're getting 30% of those key pomegranate antioxidants. Why do I like pomegranate so much? Three reasons. Number one, pomegranate increases nitric oxide production, which is very important to endothelial cell health, which are the cells that line the artery. Number two, pomegranate activates an enzyme called PON1, P-O-N-1, which protects fats from getting sticky in your arteries. And lastly, pomegranate is one of my nutrients for blood pressure. It can drop the top number by 7 to 10 points based on, depending on which research you look at, and the bottom one, about 5 to 6 points. So calcium is important, vitamin D is important, vitamin K2 is important, pomegranate for those three reasons are important, about 400 milligrams a day, very important for your heart. That's my favorite one. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.